Amen. That was good singing. That was good stuff. As Pastor Mike was talking about earlier, we have the daylight saving time, and you're probably one or two people. You're the person that says we lose an hour, or you're the person that says that we gain an hour in the afternoon or night. And I know Pastor Mike is a little excited about gaining an hour at night, just a little bit. But we're those two thoughts that, and even last night, whenever I was getting the kids in bed, the things I was saying was, oh, you kids got to get in bed. We're going to lose an hour, right? And then, of course, my mind's going to change tonight whenever I see we gain it. But talking about loss or gain, if you have your Bibles, please stand. And as I pray, you pray, come here expecting God to speak to you and trusting that God will speak to you and expecting it. Okay, so let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I praise you, God, for who you are. First of all, Father, forgive me of all my sins. Allow me to bring your word. Allow me to preach your word, Father. I can't do it without you, and I ask for your blessings on this, Father. Speak to all of us, God. We love you, but we love you because you first loved us. Bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Philippians chapter 1 is where we'll be at. But on the subject of loss and gain is what I've been thinking about. And a lot of times we have our thoughts of loss or gain, even classifying someone or even ourselves as having success or having failure by either how much we gain or how much we lose. If we gain a lot, it seems that we're successful. If we lose a lot, it would seem that we're a failure. But the word success, it simply means the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. So someone who is considered a success is someone who has an aim or has a purpose, and they accomplish that. Now, the definition of failure is someone who lacks success. So they lack the accomplishment of aim or purpose. And as studying success, I looked at many different people that would be considered successful. And I noticed that a lot of those people had some very similar qualities. And one thing that really stuck out in people that were successful or considered a success were they have a clear purpose in life. They have that reason to get out of bed. They have that driving force that pushes them. So using that standard of someone who is successful or has success, then I believe the Apostle Paul would be considered successful, right, even if the world would have said, man, I just don't know. But based on that, someone who has a name or has a purpose and accomplishes those things, that person is successful. So the Apostle Paul, he had a purpose. And that purpose, it gave him hope. It pushed him. And today we're going to talk about a life that wins. Having a purpose, a life that wins. So in Philippians chapter 1, and we'll look throughout verses 18 through 26 throughout this whole message. But if you look at Philippians 1:21, this would be the verse that reveals why Paul did what he did, why Paul said what he said, and how Paul found strength in those times of his trouble. It says in Philippians 1, verse 21, it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That is a verse that reveals the driving force behind Paul. It reveals why Paul did what he did, and it was that. Now, the question is, all of us would fill in this question. For me to live is what? We all fill that out. For me to live is what? If you were to fill that out and you were to say, now Paul says, for me to live is Christ. If you were to fill it out, you would say, for me to live is what? We all fill it out. As parents, we might say for our children. Maybe a politician would say to win the election. A lawyer would say to win the big case. But everybody seems to fill that out. But Paul, he filled it out with Christ. That he said, man, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if you were to fill that out, what would it be? Now, in life, and I'll tell you, it's a kind of funny story on me. I was telling Reggie earlier, Thursday and Friday, I didn't understand why my legs were so sore, you know. And I was thinking in my head, why is my leg so sore? Well, I went back to Wednesday night, and I decided that I could play a pickup game with the youth still. And so we played a pickup game for about 40, 45 minutes, and the worst thing about it was my team lost, okay? But speaking about, you know, in life, there's winners and losers. Now, I would have loved to beat those kids. I would have loved to beat, you know, I thought I was going to win, but we lost. But in life, I realized there are winners and there are losers in life, and that happens. But Paul had a winner's mindset. Paul's mindset was, I'm going to win either way. And Paul had that winning mindset. And he had confidence. If you look at verses 18 through 20 in chapter 1, it says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. See, Paul had a winner's mindset. He had confidence. Now, Paul is pretty happy, right? In Paul's thought process, it's like, it's all good. Now, why is that important? Because, I mean, Paul's in jail, waiting trial. Paul would, if somebody was looking at Paul's life and saying, man, Paul, why are you so happy? But yet Paul was happy because he had a winner's mindset, and he was happy. But see, we can see that Paul's depending on some things. And Paul's depending on, firstly, he's depending on the prayers of his friends. It says this. He's expecting them to pray. And then also the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. He's expecting those things. And he's depending on those things. And man, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that have prayed for this church, have prayed for you in your life. And always, always, if you can, pray for people. And then if you have somebody that is in your life that prays for you, be thankful. I can tell you in my life that there was a time period in my life to where I just seemed to really want to go my own way. But I remember that my mom would always tell me that she was praying for me, that she was praying for me. And then praise God, God brought me back. So if you have someone that you're praying for, continue to pray for them. Paul was expecting and looking forward to people praying for him, and then also the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said that he has some expectations of himself also. He said that, I don't want to do anything that would bring shame. He says, I don't want to do nothing. Can we have that mindset? Paul's winner mindset was, I don't want to do anything that brings him shame. He also says, I never want to lose courage. He says, I never want to lose courage. And then also, he says, no matter what I do, I want to magnify Christ. That is what a winning mindset. Now, a very important key is in verse number 20. In verse number 20, he says that he wanted to do all these things magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Okay? The one thing that set Paul apart in having a winning mindset and having a purpose, you see, Paul was not afraid to die. Paul wasn't concerned with what might happen or when it might happen. He was not afraid to die. He got to the point in his life that the only thing that matters is that Christ be magnified in my life. It doesn't matter if I live or if I die, as long as Christ is magnified. That was Paul's mindset. And we understand that there's a grip sometimes that death has on people. The thought process of death. The when, the how. But Paul had gotten to a point to where he realized that I don't need to fear death. No matter what happens in my life or based on my death, everything will magnify Christ. And that's where he was at. And you know, there's some very positive things about losing the fear of death. You see, when you lose the fear of death, you're free to think. And you're free to focus on things that really matter. You see, not worrying about things that you cannot control. It puts your mind in a place that you focus on the now and those things that are right in front of you, those things that are important right now. And whenever you don't have the worry of what might happen or what could happen, you're able to focus day by day on what God wants you to do. You see, once we decide that our life will not last forever, I believe that we will have a freedom to invest in things that are greater than ourselves. You see, whenever we realize that, yes, our life is not going to last forever, we're able to focus and put our energy in things that are more valuable than ourselves. You see, a lot of us have gotten so busy at making a living that we forgot to make a life that matters. You see, we've gotten so busy on making a living and doing this and doing that, and yet we forgot to focus on the life that God has given us right now. Man, I'm guilty. You know, having three kids, sometimes it just feels like you're just always stressed. Like it's always like you need something else. Really? I just gave you something. Now you need something. Now this and this. What's going on? But then I talk to some people that are a little bit older than me, and they tell me, enjoy that time. Enjoy that moment. Enjoy that house that is messed up, that you've done picked up 10 times. Enjoy that. But see, so many times we get so busy. Man, we got our family in front of us. Let me make sure I don't miss an email. Let me make sure I don't miss a text and make sure I don't miss this post. And then our family's right in front of us. How many of us would have had this conversation with ourselves or thought about it? Man, I just wish I would have 10 more minutes with this one person to just talk to them one more time or just tell them I love you. But so many times we're so busy in making that living that we forget about the life right in front of us that God has given us. But see, Paul had gotten to the point to where it didn't matter. Every single day he was going to go, and he was to the point to where, if God, I'm still here, I'll magnify you. God, if some reason I'm not here, I'll still magnify you. But he was at that point. And then we see that Paul's mission statement. You ever thought about how can Paul turn the world upside down? How can Paul have the impact that Paul did? Well, Paul simply said to live is Christ. What is that even saying? He's saying that Christ is life. He's saying Christ is my model. Christ is my aim. Christ is my comfort. Christ is the reward. That's what Paul was saying. Christ is all those things. And so when he was able to say that, that's how we turn the world upside down. Because Christ is and was everything to him. You see, we live in Christ. We live for Christ. We live by Christ. We live through Christ, and we live from Christ. It's all about Christ. And Paul had that winning mindset that no matter what was his way, he truly is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, A to Z, and every letter in between. That is Christ, and that was Paul's mindset. And that's how Paul turned the world upside down with what he did. He understood that Christ is life, that Christ will transform life, and that Christ transcends life. That's what Paul said. The Paul had the mindset that life is good and it's going to get better. That was what Paul was saying. Even though I'm shackled, guards are on me, life is good. But then one day it's going to get better. And that was his mindset. Paul lived a life with purpose and saying, and I've heard this saying before, that Paul had the mindset of, and I believe Pastor Mike has said it, you can't threaten me with heaven. That was his mindset. So he went about every day, 100%. He went at it every day. So understand that until God calls us home, that we have something to do. Like so many times we think that we're too young or we're too old or we're not smart enough, we can't speak. If God has you on this earth and you are saved, child of God, he has something for you to do. He has something for you to do. Now, we can focus and look about and think, well, what might happen? What about this? What about that? But God has given you something to do today. God has given you someone to impact today. And whenever Jesus was in John chapter 19, verse 30, whenever he was on the cross, you see, Jesus didn't say that I am finished. He said it is finished. When Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 7, he says, I have finished the race. Right? What are they saying is that Christ was saying that he was not finished, but that his work was on this earth by dying on the cross. Paul was saying that he has finished the race. So as long as God has you on this earth, you have something to do for him. God's already took into consideration your personality, your failures. Like God knows all that. But he still has something for you to do today. You see, our task as believers is to do God's will until the day that he calls us home. We don't know the future, so it's useless for us to worry about things that might happen. As long as God has given us this day, we'll focus on this day and trust God with tomorrow. But we see that in verses 22 to 23 that Paul has a little conflict, okay? Paul says in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So we see that there's a little conflict with Paul, right? He's ready and willing to be with Christ. And he wants that. But he also understands that while he's on this earth, he was going to make a difference in other people's lives. Although he's like, man, I would love to be in heaven with Jesus. That would be great. That would be awesome. But as long as I'm on this earth, I'm going to make a difference in other people's life. for the name of Christ. And what's really cool about Paul is that even though he wasn't at this point taken up to heaven, and but yet he wanted to be with Jesus, but yet you can see in his life that he had Jesus through the Spirit with him, guiding him. So he was able to experience Christ. Even though he wanted Christ to be, he wanted to be in heaven, he was experiencing Christ daily in his life. He wasn't done. He was convinced that even though he wanted to be in heaven, he was convinced that he wasn't done. He would have loved to be with Christ, but he had some people that he needed to minister to. He put aside his preferences and what he would have wanted to do for the good of other people. You see, he wanted to be in heaven. He preferred, but he said, you know what? As long as I'm here, I'm going to assist. I'm going to minister to other people. But see, him staying on earth, it had benefits. In verse 22, it says, "For I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what shall I choose? I wot not." You see, he would experience experience Christ in his life, but also he would have fruitful labor to perform. And he would also help the Philippians grow spiritually. So there were some benefits to Paul staying. He was able to experience Christ in his life. He was able to see fruitful labor, and he had that to do. But then also, he was able to help the Philippians grow spiritually. So there was some reasoning, and there were some good things that happened. Paul was saying that I can't lose either way. That was Paul's mindset. So the question is, how do you stop someone like that? You can't. If you try to kill him, he's going to die with a smile on his face. If you put him in prison, he's going to start preaching. If you put him in jail, he's going to start singing. If you run him out of town, he's just going to go to the next one and preach. Amen. How do you stop someone like that? You can't. Why? Because in his life, Christ was everything. Everything was Christ. He put him first in everything. And so many times we try to succeed in life, and if we have time, then we'll plug in God. We want to do this and want to do that to succeed, and then we'll plug in God. I'm telling you, if you plug in God first, you seek him first, then you'll watch God. Watch God be faithful. But so many times, we try to make the way, and then we try, well, okay, I got some minutes, I got some moments, I'll spend some time. But if you ever tried putting God first and watching God's hand on your life, this is not some, sow $1,000 things. No, it is God being faithful to his people. This is God showing you that he is faithful. And God will be faithful. If we'll put him first and seek him first, then you'll have a life that is pleasing to God. And so no matter what happens, you'll be considered a success. Paul, by the definition, no matter his circumstances, was a successful person. He had an aim. He had a purpose. And he accomplished those things. Paul had the mindset that as long as he was above the grass, he was going to minister to people. And then if he was below the grass, that he'd be in heaven. And so he was okay with that. Either way, and I think it's important. I think that if we understand that each moment that we have here on this earth is precious. Each moment that we have with family, with friends, and we can look back on last year, whenever we had to go live stream and we had to go away from the church building for a little bit as far as being in person, How many of us would have thought that would have happened? We wouldn't have. Why? Because we get comfortable. We get content. But hey, God's allowed us to see an awesome year. He's allowed us to be back in here. And so every single time that we come even to worship is a special time. What if it all just went away next week? You would long for it. You would want it. But we should have that same longing every single day. Man, I want to be at church. Man, I want to be with my family. Man, I want to make a life that matters. But we apply this in a way that we do what God gives us today, and we trust God with tomorrow. Now, we're talking about gaining and we're talking about success. And I can't help but think that a lot of people in life, they strive to gain a lot of worldly things, and they strive to gain money. They strive to gain power. They strive to gain fame. They want all these different things. But see, Matthew 16:26 tells me that, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See, we're talking about losing and gaining. And a lot of us have in our life, or maybe right now, you've been trying to gain everything that the world has to offer. Let's just say that you gain every single thing that the world has to offer. Let's say you gain wealth. Let's say you gain fame. Let's say you gain power. Let's say you gain it all. But you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've lost everything. You've lost everything that matters. The world will tell you, man, here's a picture of success. If you have this awesome job and this big house, the white picket fence, the two cars, all that thing. If you have all this, and you can gain all of that. But if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you, my friend, have lost everything. And although the world might perceive you as someone that is successful, in reality is you're not. You've invested your purpose or your aim in something that doth corrupt, that will fade away. You've invested. We've so many times have invested in things in our life that only last a couple days or a couple weeks or a couple years at max. But investing in what Jesus Christ, his life, his death, you can be considered a success because your aim and your purpose has become his. You see, there's some people in the Bible that thought they were gaining stuff, but in reality, they were losing. If you think about Esau despised his birthright and chose stew. Judas sold the Savior for pieces of silver. Demas, he loved this present world and he left the ministry. These men thought they were gaining something, but they were actually losing something. They were losing something. And so many times, what we think is important, what we're striving to gain, have you ever thought about also what you're losing in your strive to gain? See, perspective is everything. You can be making a living and trying to gain, and be losing your family. You could be losing a spouse. You're so focused on all these things. That's the reality. It's perspective. But we got to make sure that we're trying to gain the things that last. the things that are important. So the question is, do we have a mindset like Paul? Man, I'll be honest with you, not always. Let me be completely honest, not always. Man, there's some days that my mind is going this way, my mind is going that way. It happens. But Paul had a mindset of, man, I'm a winner either way. No matter what comes my way. So for him, his whole statement was, for me to live is Christ. So I ask you to ask that question to yourself at the beginning. For me to live is blank. Is that thing you filled in, is that something worth investing in? Is that something that has given you, that has eternal value? Now, as a parent, you should want to invest in your kids. And I see some of you young people in here, kids, praise God. Listen, I understand that sometimes with kids and sometimes even with teenagers, it can be a hassle bringing your kids to church. It can seem like sometimes things just don't work out. It seems like this is going on. Their hair is crazy. Where's their clothes? I thought you washed it. Listen, keep doing what you're doing. Keep bringing your kids to church. Amen. Keep them in Sunday school. Keep them involved in children's ministry. Keep them in youth. Although it's crazy and you're stressed out, hey, man, you're investing in something that's going to have an eternal reward. There's going to be a return for that. At any point, we can get upset and say, I'm just not going to do it. Hey, I'm with you. But praise God for you that are bringing your kids. And then also for you faithful people, praise God. You're investing in something. You came to church today to worship God and hear Him through His Word. Praise God. Keep doing that. So the question is, what is our fill in the blank? Is it Christ? Or have we tried to gain so many things in our life only to lose things that were important to us? If everybody would please stand. You see, through this, Paul had a clear purpose in his life. He had an aim in his life. And he was able to accomplish that. And so he was considered successful. He had a purpose. He had a driving force. What is your purpose and what is your driving force in life? And then, man, if you've heard this and you're thinking, there's just got to be more to life than this right now. There's just got to be more to life than what I'm seeing right now or what I'm feeling. You're right. I saw this interview that happened several years ago. And it was Tom Brady after he had won his third Super Bowl. And he made this statement. He says, he was doing an interview, and he said, man, he's like, people say that you've accomplished it all. Like, you've won three Super Bowls, some MVPs. Man, he's like, you've won it all. And Tom Brady was like, no. He's like, there's just got to be more to life than this. And so we would look at Tom Brady as successful. I mean, he's won several Super Bowls. But even Tom Brady realized that those things are temporary. And Tom was like, there's just got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more. And that's true. You see, we all have that sense of eternity, that feeling. There's got to be more, and there is more. You see, there's a God that created everything. There's a God that placed the stars and the moon and the sun, hung it all. That's God. But also God created mankind and told them they could have so many different things, but just not do this one thing. Well, Adam and Eve chose to do that one thing that God told them not to do, and they disobeyed God, and sin was brought into the world. What's the big deal? God's a holy God. God's a righteous God. But God's also a just God, so God has to deal with that. And throughout time, God would establish different things, but it just seemed like mankind could not get it right. And then finally, God sent Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He was tried, he was tested like me and you, but did not sin. And then they put him on the cross. And he died on the cross as a sacrifice for me and for you. And do you know that you can have a clear purpose in life? You can have a purpose and invest in a purpose that is far greater than you, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that means every single person in here has fallen short of the glory of God. That means we just can't get to God by our goodness. The Bible tells us that there's not one righteous, no, not one person that's righteous. So if you think that in your mind, man, I've been good enough, well, the Bible, which is my authority, says, and that's not right. There's none righteous, no, not one. But then the Bible goes on to say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So a holy and righteous God offers a way for you back to him, and that's through Jesus Christ. God loves you and God wants you, but you have to believe and put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's confessing who he is, confessing who you are. Hey, I'm just a sinner. I've sinned against you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus Christ. Ask God to save you, and God will save you. As we close this service, we have Pastor Mike and myself. We'll be down here. If you need prayer, you want to know what the Word of God says, please. And child of God, let's make sure our purpose is right. Our Heavenly Father, I praise you, God, and I thank you for who you are. You're a good God. You're a holy God. You're a righteous God. And I'm sorry so many times for not putting you first. For sometimes in my life, just making time for you, even though you've given me all time, sometimes I have the mindset of, I'll make some time for you, Father. Forgive me for that. Lord, use this time of invitation. Draw people to you. And Father, I'm asking, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior through Jesus Christ, draw them, Father. And we're going to trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.